Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours. In the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Did you just listen to our gospel lesson for today? To tell you the truth, this is not how you gain a following, Jesus. This is no locker room pep talk, no inspirational speech for sending out your followers for a plentiful harvest. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Who wants to play that role? And yet, believe it or not, that is not all of the bad news for these first Christian missionaries. They're commanded to go empty-handed, without even the most basic of provisions necessary for the road. No purse, no bag, no sandals. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Jesus was acutely aware of how treacherous the work of spreading the gospel would be. And yet, he allowed them to take no precautions as he sent them out. As the 72 disappeared two by two into the dusty roads before them, Luke tells us that they are empowered to share the work of Jesus. The peace that they will give will be the peace of Christ. I believe that this is why Luke is so careful to tell us that there were 72. You see, just as God commanded Moses to gather 70 elders to share the unbearable load of the wilderness wandering, Jesus appoints a very similar number and then pushes them beyond their comfort zone out into the world. Go your way. No longer are they safe on the sidelines. These followers are now sent out to share the peace and table fellowship, to cure the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God. In short, they are called to live out and practice the faith that they have confessed. And in doing so, or in this doing, the 72 are transformed from bystanders to active participants in the work of the Lord. And then they are commanded to go empty-handed. These disciples are to carry with them no money, no swords to display their power. They are to carry no food or supplies, no extra sandals for their feet. They must leave all these comforts and necessities at home. The 72 are armed with only a message. The kingdom of God has come near to you. This is their proclamation, and it is their promise. The kingdom of God has come near to you. They are to be ambassadors for Christ. They are to live in God's vision of the world. They are to practice peace, do justice, and perform the faith. After seeing what they have seen, after witnessing so much pain and so many miraculous moments, these followers were sent out to be doers of the word, to be kingdom carriers. There is something about the Christian faith that simply has to be lived to be understood. There are some gospel truths that only make sense in the homeless shelter, or on the steps of the Capitol, or in a hospital bed, or at any one of the great number of places in the world where people cry out for mercy, for bread, for justice, or for compassion. Perhaps this is why Jesus sends his followers into the mission field carrying only the message that the kingdom has come. Now, throughout the years, I have had many friends that have gone on mission trips. They've went to Guatemala, to Mexico, to countries in Africa, and even countries in the Middle East. Each place very unique, as well as every situation. Some have taught English. Some have handed out food and water. Some have helped with medical teams. Still others have built homes for the homeless. No matter the place or the situation, their responses almost always seem to be the same. They describe the closeness to God that they felt and how deeply convicted they were about their own faith in Christ as they worked with the men and the wilderness women and children in the area. I actually remember one friend saying, I don't think it was because I prayed more or because I read my Bible more. There was just something about being there and doing work that made my faith seem so real to me. And Jesus sent out his disciples into the world like sheep into a pack of wolves, and he sent them out with the message, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, we might be tempted to disagree with Jesus in so strongly asserting the kingdom is near. All you have to do is turn on the television and listen to the evening news. All you have to do is scan the headlines on whatever news app you use on your phone. It's so easy to come to a conclusion that we don't live in such a kingdom. Wars rage on with little signs of stopping. Poverty and hunger claim the lives of so many, while so many others live in comfort with more than enough. Many are unsafe in their own homes, while others enjoy such security. These are not signs of the kingdom of God that we would expect. In fact, if the kingdom itself came knocking on our door with no sandals, no food, and no money, we'd probably tell it to leave us alone. But Jesus is insistent. The 72 are to proclaim to those who receive them and to those who do not that the kingdom is near. Christopher Henry tells the following story. Dax is about 14 years old and lives in a village in Peru near the Amazon River. There is not enough work in this small town, and so Dax and his mother leave every morning to walk the streets and try to sell homemade flour tortillas for the equivalent of about 5 US cents a piece. On a good day, did you catch that? On a good day, they're able to make enough money to pay for the bus fare back home and to buy a little extra flour for their evening meal. Christopher writes, Dax and I played soccer together for a couple of summers ago when I was supposed to be painting the church building in his town and he was supposed to be working at home. We kept each other secret. Dax invited me to come and visit his family in their home. We spent over an hour teaching each other new words in Spanish and English. Then it was time for me to leave. Dax ran out into the other room. He emerged a moment later with a fresh, large flour tortilla in his hand. Dax broke the tortilla and handed me half. We sat down and ate together, he with the proud look of a generous host, I with tears welling up in my eyes. Dax was surrounded by the wolves of hunger, illness, and poverty, and yet willing to preach about the kingdom of God and live what he preached. Have you ever felt the presence of the kingdom in your own life? Have you ever had those experiences when the thin veneer of ordinary existence is broken and the glory of God shines through? In Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life, the very first sentence of the very first day's devotion reads, "It's not about you." Now, I know as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we need to be careful about the theology in Warren's writings. But when I read through 40 Days of Purpose, it was amazing how that first sentence continued to stick in my mind. Did you really hear that first sentence? It's not about you. Wow. Warren had reminded me of something that is so easy to shuffle under the carpet. We can use our theology as a bludgeon in which to beat others who cannot muster the faith that we have. We can shout louder, speak longer, or preach harder than anyone else. We can absolutely be sure that we have all the right answers. And we can stay in our comfort zone, safely hovering above real engagement with issues of faith that call out in our time. But if we do, if we refuse to get our hands dirty and our hearts changed, then we risk missing that the kingdom of God has already come near in Jesus Christ. God called you to faith when he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross and give you eternal life in heaven with him. And now he is sending us out into a complex and hostile world like sheep in the midst of wolves. The bad news is all that we carry is a message. The good news is that the message is the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.